All right. Seems like it's working.
Yep, we're good to go.
Great.
All right. So, hey, let's start with your year of graduation, including if that was spring, summer, fall, and your major.
Okay. I graduated in spring 2016, and my major was professional music with a focus in songwriting and music technology.
Awesome. And what was your principal instrument?
It was voice.
Very cool. Never lose that.
Great.
Physically, at least. Okay, so we'll get to your history later. But for now, tell us about your current job. What do you do? Where do you do it?
All right. I am a senior account executive at Hazmat Media. It is a distribution and fulfillment warehouse in Los Angeles, California.
And warehouse, do you mean, because sometimes people mean warehouse, but it's all just sending bits over the internet. Do you mean physical product or?
Physical product.
Got it. Now, about how big a company is it?
We are about currently 10 people, but we're looking to hire a few more. I would say that between 10 and 15 usually.
So it's the, it's, I assume, all located in that one location?
Yes, we only have one office.
And you said it's in L.A.?
It is.
Cool. And how many account executives are there?
So at the moment, I actually just took over someone else's job. And when that happened, I obviously was no longer in my job. So we hired a junior account executive to replace me. So at the moment, it is myself and one junior account executive.
Got it. I'm just curious, are you the junior account executive's direct supervisor? Or I'm sure like you impart some knowledge, but for example.
I do. I wouldn't say that I am technically a supervisor, but I do handle training and overseeing his daily responsibilities.
Got it. And account executive can mean many different things. For some people, that's a pure commission sales job. For others,
yes,
that's more account management, where you're staying in touch with the current customers.
Yes.
What does your job entail?
It would be more along the lines of account management. I deal directly with our current client database, as well as handling reaching out to past clients and seeing if they need anything from us, or reaching out to potential new clients as well. But I'm not on commission. I'm a salaried employee.
Got it. Got it. Would you say, you said you're like working through your client database with something?
Yes.
You just mentioned, like, what do you do with the database? Like, what is it?
So yearly, we maintain a Google Doc for ourselves just within our company with our current clients, past clients, and any clients that we have reached out to. Maybe we've done one job for them, or they've expressed interest in working with us. And we keep this database, and about yearly around our off season, which is right now during the summer months, mm-hmm, we will go through and call or email and see if there's anything that we can help them with.
Got it. Now, you said you're like a shipping and distribution warehouse?
Yes.
Can you give us an example? Like, what sort of products do you ship, and like in what quantities do you ship them? So
sure.
So it's like you're like the third party who handles this. I imagine it's lots of companies that don't want to deal with all the logistics themselves. Is that the theory?
Exactly. They don't want to deal with shipping and dropping product off. So it depends. We have a on season and an off season, and currently we're in our off season. Mm-hmm. We work with lots of different clients, but for example, we work with certain skincare brands, okay, and they will send us a product line prior to the launch of the product, sometimes after the launch of the product, but usually it's prior to launch, and we're responsible for storing the product and then packaging and shipping and gift wrapping the product according to our client specifications. And they provide us a list of people, usually I would say in an instance like skincare or beauty product, we send to beauty bloggers or influencers who review the product, and they post it on their blog or their YouTube channel prior to the launch of the product.
Okay, so it sounds like your company is doing this more from, let's say, as you say, like a marketing perspective.
Yes.
As opposed to an order fulfillment perspective. You know what I mean by there, right?
Yes.
So it's relatively small quantities to a predetermined list as opposed to giant warehouse.
It can be. In our off season, we mostly handle smaller quantity items. However, in our busier season, we handle, mostly we deal with the, distribution of DVD screeners to Academy members. They're basically promotional campaigns for certain films, and we will work with certain studios that we actually have constants that we work with year to year, but every year can be different, and they will send us the DVDs, and we are the distributor of those DVDs during their campaign to promote their film for the Oscars. So those are larger quantities, much, much larger, like 8,000, 12,000, 120,000.
Wow, okay.
At the moment,
I'm almost surprised that... sorry, you were about to say?
In our off season, it's more like we'll send between 10 and 15 and maybe like 200 of a certain product. However, during our busy season, it's much larger.
God, I'm kind of shocked to hear that this company of only 10 people can handle orders that big.
Well, we hire temporary workers during our season, and that usually puts us up to between 15 and 20. But it's a crunch. There's a crunch time during that season.
Understood.
We all have no qualms with staying a little late to meet client deadlines.
And I'm just curious, like, during that busy season, are they ever like, drop what you're doing, you get to start wrapping things?
Absolutely. Nobody in our company, including the president, is below stuffing envelopes.
Or above, right?
Yes.
Got it. So there's the sort of drop everything, work late, hit the deadlines, send it out. Exactly. And then, as you say, and I'm sure you're also, of course, doing a lot of coordination, right? So what is your job until, like, you're the one who makes sure that the product arrives?
I pretty much oversee incoming product from the client letting us know that the product is incoming to the product leaving the door of our facility. So they'll let me know. I deal with the client side relations, but I also deal with the processing any jobs that they'd like to send out. So it's basically from step A to Z. They'll let me know that X amount of this product is coming in and it will arrive at this date. And I follow up and make sure that it is delivered. And I let them know exactly how much product we received. And then I will make sure that it gets into storage, into the correct storage facility, the correct storage area for the certain client. And then they'll send over a request or a job. And I will work that job and be in direct contact with the client, making sure that everything that they need is met and that everything we need is met. And then I'll pass that on to our production team, and they will fulfill the job. They'll package it. They'll box it up, put everything inside the boxes and make sure that they look the correct way that our client wants. And then I will run the labels, either FedEx, UPS, USPS, and they'll slap them on. And then I make sure that it's shipped out and that our client knows that it went.
Got it. That makes sense. You alluded to a busy season and a less busy season. So how many hours a week do you work in each of those?
So technically we have a standard 40-hour work week. I work 9 to 6 most days. However, on our less busy season, it could be we'll leave at 5. I mean, on a rare occasion, we'll leave at 4:30. However, during our busy season, we can work closer to 12-hour days with, you know, shorter lunches, coming in a little bit early, punching out a little bit late, just making sure that we're getting the job done. And on a rare occasion, we will work on Saturdays.
Got it. So your busy season is what, 3 or 4 months a year?
It depends per season. However, it ranges between 4 and 6 months of the year. So it's typically between the months of August to February, or September, October to February.
Got it. For one of these smaller products,
yes.
I'm curious, like, kind of how long would you say the full cycle is between, let's say, your first communication with the client and the, okay, we're done here?
All right. Well, I mean, let's see. We work with a lot of gaming companies, so we'll send out, launched or pre-launched games and the physical actual copy of the game. And from the time that they send over a list, let's say it's 50 people, it doesn't take me that long to work it. I'd say we can have a turnaround of as little as 45 minutes to an hour and a half for a smaller job.
Okay, got it. So pretty quick. Let's say, how many balls are you keeping in the air at any one moment? Like, how many different jobs are you tracking on a given week?
Oh, that varies day to day. Sure. Sometimes our clients are completely silent and we wonder where they've disappeared to. And then some weeks we have lots of different things going on. But let's say in our off season, we'll have maybe like between 2 to 5 jobs a day. So it's nothing crazy, but during our busy season, it can be, oh my goodness, it can be between 10 and 20 different things that we're doing in a day.
Got it. And let's see, to qualify for these interviews, one category that you have to hit is that you enjoy what you do.
Yes.
So could you tell us about, what is it about being an account executive that you enjoy?
Well, I mean, it may sound a little cheesy, but I really enjoy the client relations. I really enjoy doing my job well and making the client happy and making sure that everything runs smoothly. And I also really enjoy being part of the machine in my office and working with all the other people who make these launches, product launches, or award-winning films possible.
Gotcha. Can I just ask, in terms of the corporate structure of your own company, so who do you report to?
Okay, I actually report directly to the three owners of our company, which would be the president, the vice president, and the controller, the financial controller. I'm directly under the three of them.
Got it. And let's say, have you gotten to know any of the clients' contact people pretty well, or is it all just kind of anonymous emails back and forth?
No, some of it, particularly with newer clients, can be less personal. But I definitely have slightly more personal relationships with the clients that I've been working with since I started working here about 2 years ago. But we really don't meet our clients face to face. We deal with them strictly on a phone to email basis, so it's a little less personal.
Got it. That makes sense. All right, let's move on to the second part of the interview. You graduated relatively recently, 2016.
Yes.
Guessing you weren't thinking account manager. Could be wrong. I mean, I was going to say, so put us in your headspace. And by the way, if you feel that the logical starting point to this story is before you're graduating, feel free to take it back further than that.
Oh, yes.
But I kind of want to know, but it's, for a lot of people, their story sort of starts as they're finishing up Berkeley. And well, I was going to say, put us in your headspace, so where you were at, and then we'll do both that and what you were doing to get one step at a time from there to now.
Sure. Well, I think that what led to me being in this position, as opposed to being in something musically related, actually did come a lot earlier than that. I grew up overseas.
I'm sorry, I missed that. You grew up what?
I grew up overseas. I grew up internationally. My dad is in the Army, and so we moved around a lot. And I grew up in embassies overseas, pretty much. And I had the luxury of being able to sign up for a seasonal hire program at the embassy starting at 16. And I worked there at each different embassy that we moved to during the summers and winters from the time I was 16 until I graduated college, pretty much.
Well, what would you be doing at these embassies?
For the most part, I worked in American Citizen Services, which was, it deals with American relations overseas. So anybody, let's say that, I lived in Mexico at the end of, well, my family lived in Mexico at the end of my Berkeley career. Mm-hmm. And, let's say there are a lot of people who travel to Mexico and then they lose their passport or they get stuck. And that's what we did. We were there to help them get the passport, get any relevant documents that they needed to travel back to the United States. Or we did a lot with parents who had had a child in the United States and were trying to get their child a U.S. passport. And so mostly passport agency, but I was kind of an administrative assistant there. So I had a lot of background. I worked in Poland in that office first, mm-hmm. and then I worked in Mexico City, and I had a lot of administrative office experience. So when I graduated from Berkeley and I needed a job to pay my bills.
And you'd been, so you, as you said, you'd been doing this all summer. Hey, do you mind sharing, again, I don't ask about career salaries, do you mind sharing what the pay was as working for the embassies?
Well, it varied. In the summer hire program, which is what it was called, some embassies did summer and winter, but some of them just did summer. It depended on your year that you were working there. So they paid, I believe it depended on your education. So if you were in your sophomore year or junior year of high school, it was, I believe it started at like $7 an hour, and then it went up to probably between $13 and $14
an
hour.
Okay, so not jackpot, but certainly, you know, a good
step
above minimum wage.
I was working a standard 40-hour work week, and so, you know, during college, that really helped.
And so this was just, you're in college, you need to make some money, you'd been doing it, I imagine, you know, it was comfortable and not too objectionable, so.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, it kept, particularly because I went home, quote unquote, for the summers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always somewhere that I had grown up. So my parents moved to Mexico when I was in college and I didn't really know anybody. So it kept me busy during the summers and winters.
Got it. So your father was like an embassy guard, I assume?
No, he is actually, he's a chief warrant officer. So he's in the army. I'm not sure how to describe his position.
Okay. All right, sure. So, all right, so anyway, since you say Berkeley fit, it's the spring of 2016, congratulations, you've got your degree, and you're like, oh, right, so now what's happening?
Yeah, so my boyfriend and I moved out to L.A. that fall with a lot of help from our parents.
Quick question, is your boyfriend...
Sorry?
Was your boyfriend a Berkeley person also?
He was. He graduated the same time I did. He played guitar and studied performance.
Cool. So L.A. seems like a very standard place to go.
Yes, exactly.
You're hardly my first person who moved to L.A.
And funny enough, neither one of us do anything musically related.
Oh, that's funny.
When I got out to LA with him, I immediately started looking for jobs, and I figured that in order to pay for myself, I had enough experience in office work that it would probably be easier and quicker for me to find an office job. And I wasn't set in staying there forever. I was just sort of open to the possibility that maybe it would lead to something else. And I signed up with a temp agency, and I pretty quickly got my job at Hazmat and actually got hired on by them a few months later before my temp period was up. And now I've been there for almost 2 years.
So I just want to make sure I got it right. You get there and you're just like, right, you need a day job. You need that income coming in.
Exactly.
And then you signed up with a temp agency that presumably placed people in lots of administrative type jobs.
Yes.
And you're put there. And I feel like that's pretty common. You said you were more the junior role, even if you were officially account manager.
Yes.
And then Yeah, I've heard that's pretty common where companies will sometimes get, it's called like temp to perm, right? Someone gets a temp, and then at some point, they if they don't like them, off you go, no harm, no foul. And if they do like you, the temp agency gets some money and the person gets a job.
Exactly.
So, and you are basically right there in your role. I think you mentioned earlier there was a more senior person there.
Yes.
And then how many years had you been there when he left, or how long had you been there?
About a year.
So 3 months in, you've sort of been hired by this company, and then about 9 months later, he leaves. And was this kind of like a promotion that you then received?
Yes. However, they promoted my job title pretty immediately, and I didn't get my official promotion and pay raise until after, because that was at the very beginning of our busy season, mm-hmm. and I think that they wanted to see how I handled it on my own for the first time without any help.
Sure.
And then post the season, or about halfway through the season, when I was doing a pretty good job, I got my official promotion.
Nice. Do you mind trying to sort of as a percent raise, like about how big a raise came with this?
Let me do that math right now.
I'm just curious, because you've gone from being you're doing a similar job. You've gone from being the junior person to the head person doing it. And
yeah, I'm trying to do the math now. Let me see. I'm not so good with that mental math. I'd say it was a pretty decent pay raise, probably about 40%.
That's very substantial. Yeah. So, got it. And here you are.
Yes.
All right. So, hey, my next question for you is, mm-hmm. actually, I do have what sort of before that, which is, like at some point, I'm sure around the time this guy left, you became the more senior person. Maybe you're like, okay, yeah, you're definitely working an admin job rather than music. Like, I don't know, like, are you just like, yep, cool, this is what I wanted? Or was there a kind of a moment of like, what am I doing? Or, you know.
No, I mean, I think that both options for me, either getting a career in music or getting a career as more of an admin person, were both very prominent options in my life for a very long time. And so I never thought that it was out of the question that I would possibly not be in music someday. It was sort of like, okay, this is what I'm doing now.
Got it. Okay, so then to sort of take a little tack on that, these days, let's say 2018, like, what is your current relationship with music?
To be honest,
there's no right or wrong answer.
Not very big in my life at the moment. I feel like I took a little break. It's sometimes difficult to focus on it when you're so involved in your current career and like path. I have my piano at home and I sit down and I play it every once in a while. But for the most part, no, it's not very big in my life at the moment.
Got it. No worries. So my next question for you is, let's assume you would have gotten a college degree from somewhere had you not gone to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
But thinking about your current job as that senior account manager, is there anything you feel your Berkeley experience did particularly well to prepare you for what you're doing now?
Definitely multitasking in a high intensity environment. Berkeley was definitely, I think, different than most colleges in that the course load that you were taking per semester was a lot larger. Mm. Maybe the classes were shorter than the average college, you know, of like 4-hour lectures. But we on average had between 8 and sometimes 11 classes a semester. And I think that really helped me learn how to balance all of those things. I know that technically speaking, no one can really multitask, but you know, in the lifestyle, the fast moving lifestyle that we live in, everybody is kind of expected to. And it helps me a lot in, it helps me a lot in our season when it's really, really crazy and there's a million different expectations and they're all a little different, but sort of the same. And I think Berkeley really prepared me for that.
Very cool. Okay. Let's turn that question around now, because right, Berkeley gives that one degree, a bachelor's in music, and you went there knowing that, and indeed you went, you know, straight into this career, and you know your experience had helped, and you're doing quite well for yourself. But all that said, when you look back at your Berkeley education, is there anything where you say, you know, hey, it would have been really useful to have learned this while I was at Berkeley, and they could have taught it to me, and they didn't? Anything missing or incomplete?
Unrelated to my current career path or related?
Well, either. The point is
just you know,
is there something you feel like, I really wish I'd learned this when I was at Berkeley? And let's assume that there are some things where being in music college is just not going to teach people, you know, you're not going to go into pre-med and go and get a pre-med, you know, background at Berkeley. That's not reasonable. But there might be some things where you feel like, hey, it's not out of the question that Berkeley could have been teaching people this, and boy, it would have been useful if they had.
I mean, I think that there were a lot of different options at Berkeley that I was sort of surprised upon getting there that existed. I mean, I, in the end of my, education, I took a lot of music business classes and legal classes per a lot of requirements that I had to take, but I found them incredibly interesting, and they, because it was legally based and money based, that it doesn't have to be strictly about music. It was, obviously, but it didn't have to be in order for you to take something out of it in a different aspect of your life. I guess I can say that for high school and college education, more preparing young adults for the reality of financial management.
Oh, like your personal finances, you mean?
Yeah, but I mean, that's not music specific.
Doesn't matter.
But other than that, no. I mean, I think that there were a lot of really great class options, and I think a lot of the teachers at Berkeley really did a good job of catering to even the individual student, because class sizes were so personal.
Sure, sure. Okay, so my next question for you is, I mean, you got right on this career path again right after college, and indeed you'd had that really solid administrative background.
Yes.
Going in. Not everybody has sort of found that path. And let's say there even are people maybe in their last year at Berkeley looking out at the big scary world and being like, oh my God, what comes next? So for either or both of those groups, what advice do you have?
Definitely don't be afraid to try something outside of music, just because, you know, I spent all this money on a degree, so obviously I have to do that, you know. I personally look at my Berkeley education and think, you know, maybe I'm not doing anything career-wise related to music now, and maybe I don't even have music as a strong point in my life at the moment, but I still look back on it fondly. I learned a lot and I enjoyed my time there, but that doesn't mean you have to be, just because you have a degree from Berkeley in music does not mean you have to do something with music. And if you have other qualifications or you find something interesting that you want to try, but maybe you're hesitant because it's not related, that shouldn't be scary. You should just follow what you think is right and don't be afraid to try new things.
Gotcha. Very nice. So now let's focus in a little bit.
Sure.
So I'm still a little bit trying to decide whether to put you, I'm leaning toward putting you into my category called sales support / account management.
Okay.
Yeah, I also have admin as a separate field, but if it sounds like that's more it. So
yeah, I would agree.
Okay, great. So my point is, I think you're my 136th interview.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, maybe my fifth person in that sales support account management role.
Oh, wow.
So, point being, nobody's listening to all 136. Other than me. But there are going to be, so who's listening to this? The ones where, you know, if you looked at the page, it's all otherberkeleyalumni.com. It's all sorted by career.
Mm-hmm.
So folks who might be thinking like, okay, it's, you know, sort of on the administrative side of sales. There's less that pressure that you have to make your quota and, you know,
right,
get the commission, but you're still like interacting with people. You're doing a bunch of different things. It doesn't require years of specialized training.
Right.
Like, I could see people thinking, like, hey, this seems like a good job I could get into pretty quickly, and that has potential to lead to places.
Yeah.
So, let's say for somebody who's like, okay, I'm interested. How do I pursue this as a career? What specific advice do you have for them?
Temp agencies are your friend. They are the middleman between what you already know how to do, whether that be limited or extensive in regards to your resume writing and presentation of yourself. I find that it usually helps a lot of people. I've known many other people who have used temp agencies and had success. So, yeah, I would say that temp agencies are your friend, especially if you don't have any direct connections. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anything else. I think that would be about it. I mean, you got to start from somewhere.
Sure. All right, Pamela. Well, I just have one last question for you.
Great.
Which is, you have the mic. So is there anything we missed? Anything else you'd like to say?
Oh, boy. Huh. I don't know. I don't think so. I think we kind of covered everything.
All right. Good enough. Well, in that case, I very much enjoyed this conversation. Thanks again for making the time.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
All right. Well, hey, best of luck with everything and look for a message from me in the very near future.
Thanks. Great. Will do.
All right. Bye now.
Bye.